Hello and welcome again to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. We have got an absolute cracker here for you today. I know you're going to stick with us, that's why you've joined in. 45 minutes of some belting stuff in the company of our very own Simon Ferry. And as you know, we always pull it out the bag, Si, don't we? Yeah. Every week, we pull it out the bag. This week, unfortunately, we haven't managed to do that. But we've still managed to get Peter McDonald to come and join us. Pizzo, still playing strong, still in Albion, formerly St Johnston, Dundee, Ranger striker. And also, Pizzo helps out with the Rangers under 16, making sure the next generation of Rangers players are in good hands. Peter, nice of you to join us.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here.
Great. What do you think? How's Si looking today?
Makeup's looking well.
By the way, played Pizzo on Saturday.
I know, still
got it, mate. What is it? What are you, 42 now?
Was it a deserved victory?
Here at Dundee made me feel like that.
Was it a deserved victory for them?
You take your chances, you know. We had a couple of chances, never took them. And you get Rory McAllister on a team, it's always going to get you one. If he misses three, you always take one.
You know? You still enjoying playing, Peter?
I love it. Loving it. It's getting tougher each year, the recovery and things like that. But other than that, Saturday's a Saturday, and after that, I can recover and rest.
Relax.
By the way, he's still Stirling's best player. I'm not just saying that because he is Stirling's best player.
It's all up there. You can get away with it, can't you? In terms of your legs, if your brain's still got it.
I did. Channel runs are getting shorter.
He gets that fat arse into. Just backs in with that fat arse, does all right.
Well, anyway, we've got some great topics for you today in the next 45 minutes. We'll kick off talking about Peter Hartley and Dedryck Boyata in the news all week in the build-up to their respective Premiership games for Motherwell and Celtic. We're going to speak about the Mourinho meltdown last night after Man United's 3-0 defeat to Spurs. And we'll have a general look at the EPL and the standard. Is it as good as everybody makes out, or is it overhyped? We're also going to look at the Scotland squad. Alec McLeish, two big games coming up. A friendly against Belgium and then the big game on Monday night against Albania at Hampden. We'll take a look at the squad and we'll take a look at one or two of the players who are missing. James McArthur has asked to be left out, as has Robert Snodgrass. We'll take a wee look at them and get the boys' opinion on whether that's right or wrong. So we're going to pack it in. Let's kick off. Pizzo, Peter Hartley, comments about Fabio Cardozo in the build-up to the game, saying that he enjoyed seeing him weep when he got his face smashed in in the League Cup semi-final Motherwell Rangers last season. The comments weren't clever at all, were they?
They weren't, especially with the game coming up. It's no nice to see him to be their nose splattered across their face, and I'm pretty sure Motherwell would have been on to him to sort of have a word with himself next time he's in front of yous. Mm-hmm. But
what did you make of it, Simon?
Ugh, it is bad, but I think he's having a laugh, isn't he? I know. Aye. It's, but people get offended over anything these days, eh? Mm-hmm. See, if it's my team and somebody says that, wouldn't it bother me? Honestly, wouldn't it? Like I say, everyone gets offended over everything these days. I actually watched him saying it, and he was laughing when he said it. But just the way the world is now, that everyone jumps on it straight away. But I think even Steven Gerrard played it then, saying that he wasn't too bothered by his tongue in cheek and. Mm-hmm. He's seen that all his career, but
that said, it would have been more, I think, if you're Stevie Robinson, the Motherwell manager, think, uh-huh, I don't need this. Uh-huh. Build up to Rangers, who are doing well, coming to first part, live game on the telly on the Sunday. The last thing you need is for the focus to be on one of your.
But
your
I don't know, players. You know, I think maybe it made it more the game more of a battle. You know, I'm thinking he's maybe thought, Hartley's thought, if we could get Rangers riled up and maybe take away from their football and make it into a battle, it'd suit us a lot better. I think that actually happened in the game. I watched the game. It was a great game, wasn't it?
It was
absolutely great game. But it was like a cup final of the game. You know, it was people were smashing at the tackles. It was brilliant. So I think Hartley's comments probably worked on Motherwell's side. I've watched Rangers playing. That's probably the biggest game that I've seen where it did get turned quite scrappy. I thought, and it took away for Rangers the way they've been playing the passing game, and it kind of suited Motherwell a bit more, especially the second half. So I think Hartley's comments probably worked for Motherwell.
Two things about Rangers, Peter. Lafferty coming back, getting a couple of goals, and defensively, for probably the first time this season, Rangers looked dodgy.
Aye, touching big Laff coming back, you know. Two goals is going to set him on fire. You know, especially if he's going against Celtic last week, that's 3-2. Mm-hmm. So he'll be a big player for Rangers this season, I've no doubt about that. he'll bring pace, aggression, and he's also said that he'll be a better player than what he was. So it's all systems go for him. Regarding our situation, defensively, things happen like that. You know yourself, Si. If somebody's going to get across you or whatever, or get above you, it's tit for tat in games. That'll happen with Rangers. I'm no big in managers caning players for it. You know, unless it's blatantly you're 3 or 4 yards away from your man. If he's just get across you at pace, or if he's behind you, you know, with a jump, it's hard to deal with, you know, yourself.
You think if you look back to Rangers, the game the previous week when they defeated Kilmarnock in the League Cup game, James Tavernier defensively in that game, and then on Sunday, and I like Tavernier, terrific, you know, the amount of assists that he gets, but is it maybe time to say he's not reliable enough at right back? Has that been fair?
I couldn't believe he was marking Hartley at the corners. I couldn't believe it. For me, Hartley's their biggest threat at corners, Aldred and Hartley. And for Tavernier to be marking him, but because you know that he's going to switch off defensively. You know, I'd had a Goldson or a Katic on big Hartley. And twice again, the ball comes in and Hartley scores. But did they change their shape? Did they go three at the back, Rangers?
Yeah.
Which baffled me as well, because the two boys have formed quite a good partnership, Goldson and Katic. So I was a bit surprised, and Barisic played up one left midfield, and I think he's been great at left back. So it was a shock to me that he changed his system, because they'd hardly conceded any goals, and I think Goldson and Katic are good enough to go up against Main and who was it?
Johnson.
As a two against two, but he went for a three, and that kind of shocked me a bit.
What do you make of the stuff, Peter? I was a bit taken aback by it, the kind of level of criticism towards Steven Gerrard for putting Lee Wallace on in the last minute. I mean, I could totally see the sense in putting on Lee Wallace in the last couple of minutes.
Of course, you see it all the time in Europe, you know. If it's a cup final, you put him on and you finish 3-2. Does anybody say anything about it?
No.
Does he maybe be a bit disrespectful to Lee Wallace? But I don't think it was meant that way. Mm-hmm. I think it was run the clock down.
Because we're under pressure at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Motherwell having a good spell playing and set pieces.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's using his napper a wee bit there, to be fair. And unfortunately, it never worked. But any other manager would be maybe praised for doing it, or if Mourinho does it, or no, we'll say no Mourinho at this moment in time. But if it was Pep that was to do it, you know, a bit of school together, by the way, me and Pep. So if it was him to do it, using his seed. But.
Did you think the Lee Wallace coming on? Do you think that now signals the start that you know that they've kissed and made up between him and the club, and he's got a future at Rangers, or do you still think with a few days to go in the transfer window he might still be on his way?
No, I think if he was going to go, he'd have went back to Hearts, laughing. So I think he'll be at Rangers now. Now listen, Lee Wallace, a top player. I've played with him when I was younger, and honestly, he's a Rolls Royce, Lee Wallace. For a guy like Steven Gerrard to bring him to bring him back in after all that's happened, it tells you a lot about Lee Wallace as well. He's a great guy, honestly. See, if you meet him, he's a lovely boy. Works hard. When we came through together at Scotland, he was brilliant to play with. Really good player. I think Lee Wallace, once he gets fit, gets himself back to being sharp, I think Lee Wallace could go and play for Rangers every week.
You agree with that, Peter?
I agree with that, yeah, definitely. He's a top player. He's a winner as well.
Yes.
He's a winner. At this moment, Rangers need winners.
I like the boy Barisic, though, good player.
Yep,
good player. He played up at left mid, didn't he? But I think he's a right good player.
I watched him against St Mirren. He played left back that day, but his delivery in the final third was top notch.
He throws it, didn't he?
He's a bit of a unit as well, you know.
It's going to be a bit of a problem for who they play, isn't it? Because they've got Barisic and Wallace at one side, and they've got Taverney and Flanagan at the other. Bit of a selection headache for them going into the Old Firm game.
You could even have three in the left-hand side with Flanagan, because he tends to play.
Play on the left back, as well.
Get them over, yeah. They certainly get plenty of options, depending on how it goes on Thursday night in terms of injuries when Rangers travel back from Russia after their game against FC Ufa. Dedryck Boyata. I mean, you couldn't make this one up, could you?
No,
he refuses to play, by all accounts, allegedly, during the week, away to Suduva. Celtic draw 1-1. He comes back, selection problems being that he's included in the starting lineup, walks out to a banner saying you're not fit to wear the jersey. Basically, away you go, Boyata, from the Celtic fans, and then he points up to get what is, even at this stage of the season, a very, very important winning goal.
It was Frank McAvaney and Davy Farrell that was holding up the banner, wasn't it? No, but the banner, the fans have got I think the fans have got every right to voice their opinion. These guys are travelling all over Europe paying thousands of pounds to get there and get back, and a guy that refuses to play for your club, of course you're going to have the hump. Do you know what I mean? They're quite right to voice their opinion. Fair play to Boyata, he came back and I think he's thrown it, if you want to hear. Listen, he played in the Belgian team that got to the semi-finals, although it was only three games. I think he's better than what Celtic have got. I think he's the best centre-half at the club. And Brendan Rodgers maybe sees that there's going to be more of a challenge this year, and quite rightly he's desperate to keep a hold of him.
With that in mind then, we're on here at the moment, 3-4 days of the window to go. Do you see him being sold come Friday?
No, unless they get, I would say unless they get two centre-halves in, I think he'll stay.
But if you're saying you think he's the best defender at the club, then you shouldn't be selling him then, should you?
Well, only because he'll go for free next year would be the only way why you would sell him. But I don't think Rodgers is too bothered about that, the money side of things. He's just looking at he needs to win this league this year.
You think about it, I mean, if you're not going to get a proper replacement in, and you think he's the best centre-half at the club, and you sell him 2 days before you're playing Rangers at Celtic Park, doesn't he add up if you're a manager, does it?
No way. I mean, as I said, you need to add, unless they get two in, I don't think they'll sell him. If they only get one, I think he'll still stay. Because I think Rodgers, I don't think he's a big fan of any other ones, if I'm honest. Maybe Ayer, but he's still young. So unless they get two centre-halves in, I think Boyata will stay at Celtic.
What do you make of it, Peter?
I think if Brendan will have two identified, I think with Big Mark McKenna being one, if they do sell Boyata, Scott McKenna being one.
Mark McKenna's a
school ball. He's your video analysis, that's why I'm talking about him.
I'll tell you, I don't think Aberdeen will sell him. I'll put a statement out there now. I don't think he'll be sold. Certainly not by Friday night.
I think
Aberdeen
Celtic
won't sell him.
No. Get a fee for Boyata if they've got two identified replacements, let's say Masai, and I think McKenna would be the ideal one.
Mark Wilson was on the radio saying that he thinks Mark McKenna will be a Celtic player.
Scott McKenna even.
Scott.
Who's Mark McKenna? Is this some lower league player I've never heard of?
He's your video analysis.
Okay. Sorry, Mark.
He could probably do a job, actually.
Right, so Scott McKenna. The Aberdeen centre-half. No Rangers video analysis guy. I'm trying to buy Scott McKenna. I'll tell you, I don't think Aberdeen will sell him. I bet you even 5 million won't be enough to tempt Aberdeen to sell.
What, would they sell him to an English Premiership team, or they just won't sell him to Celtic?
Well, the thing is, you can't sell him down the road just now because their window's
shut.
All you could do is sell him to a Championship club, but it would have to be a loan deal. We figure built in to make it permanent in January. But I think the player will stay, and I don't think I think it'll be sold eventually, obviously. But I'd be very, very surprised if Scott McKenna sold by the close of play on Friday.
So do you think Boyata will still be at Celtic?
No, I think he'll be sold, and I think it's the right decision to sell him.
Right, okay.
He has to go.
And do you know who he'll go to?
Somewhere abroad, because they're the only one who get their windows open. So it's like it'll be France or Germany or Turkey or Spain. Can't go to Italy; their windows closed. But no, I think as much as I probably agree with you, Boyata is the best centre half at Celtic. I think all things considered, I don't think you can run the risk of having him there for the next 4 months because his heart's not in it.
No,
is it? So I think you just try and you cash in. But like you said, it is important to get a couple of bodies in for the
second. Like Craig Gordon on that run him after he scored, didn't he? Somebody says that was the first time he's left his line all year.
dear. He did celebrate his goal. I watched the sports scene and you could see it. That was Norm?
It's just a message, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's seen the banner. He's probably heard the boos, you know, and he's like, mate, I've scored. So, do I need to celebrate for them to boo me again? So, I think that was wise.
But as I said, just when we started talking about Boyata, a really big 3 points for Celtic, because even this early in the season, but when you're getting to an Old Firm game on Sunday, it puts Celtic 1 point ahead of Rangers, which must be a kind of lift in some sort of way.
Of course, you know, Sunday's, I know it's only the first Old Firm game, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
It is massive. And I can't wait for it. Mm. I can't wait. I think with Steven Gerrard coming in, Rangers just totally different for the previous 2 years. The high pressing game, the intensity they're playing at is a different level, and you can see, for me, seeing 3 or 4 games, they're so fit compared to what they were, you know. And I think Celtic could be in for a wee shock, and is it a shock? I don't think it will be a shock when they're at them.
If Rangers win, you don't think it'll be a shock if Rangers win at Parkhead on Sunday?
No, I don't know.
Wow.
No, for what I've seen. No.
Where are you watching it? In the Loudon?
Yeah, no, just like you say, elaborate on that, why it wouldn't be. Listen, I can see where you're coming from in terms of, I can see why Rangers are an Old Firm game. Sometimes you could toss a coin, but I still think if Rangers to go to Celtic Park and win, it would be a wee bit of a shock. All things, it wouldn't be a shock if it was a draw, but it'd be a wee bit of a shock if Rangers win.
In 2 years, you know, they drew with them. Clint Hill scored the equaliser, I think, when Mertz was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did them expect that?
No.
But now they've got a lot better players and better squad. Somebody gets injured, they get replacements. They never had that the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They never had a desire and a way to play where they're pressing for the front, you know, and it's all systems go for the front. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Celtic are truthfully good enough in the ball to play if they're pressed for the front.
The thing I'm looking forward to seeing is Goulton and Katic have looked great until Sunday when they played against a big boy in Maine, fit, strong, quick. And I'm just looking to see how the day against Dembele. Because for me, Dembele is Celtic's best player. I want a wee bit of the game on Sunday, and such a better team about Dembele in it, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to look sharp again. So I think that'll be where it'll be won and lost, how they cope with Dembele.
You guys know about Old Firm games. You've been at the clubs and build-ups to them. You've been part of a set-up for Old Firm games. Peter, does it have any bearing at all going to Celtic Park as the opposition team when there's only going to be 800 Rangers fans rather than 8,000? That must have that'll be a wee bit of a hindrance.
I think it would, because usually 4,500 Rangers usually get. Would that be right?
No, is it not 7 or 8 over
in the corner?
Is it that much?
I think so. I might be wrong. Yeah, I think it's 7 or 8,000. Aye,
that's going to be a miss, because the away support are always the most vocal at any stadium you're at. Yeah, I think I'll have a big part to play. You know, but.
I think
on
players
the flip
playing,
side, then, can that help Celtic having 58,000 fans rather than only 50,000?
I think the players used to look forward to the away games more, because obviously I think the Rangers fans were better at Celtic Park and Celtic fans were better at Ibrox.
Yep. Yep.
And it just kills the game that, what is it, 800 fans you've said?
Yep.
I mean, it's stupid, isn't it? I think the Old Firms are great Jesus because of the fans.
Tickets,
the game, the fans make the games. You know what I mean? And the atmosphere will just not be the same. I think it should go back to what it was.
I hope it's a decision that it was Rangers that started it. I hope it's a decision that will be reconsidered for next season, because it would be good to go back, wouldn't it? Because you look at it now, and you know, with Rangers, as Pizzo's saying, getting off to a good start, fans are buzzing, rightly so, and you know, there's more than 7,000 of them missing out and being at Celtic Park, and you know, that's unfair on them. Thursday night's European games and the transfer window closing on Friday. Also, we can't predict how it's going to go on Thursday. Rangers in Russia, Celtic at home to Sudova. Then we've got the window closing 24 hours
big week
later. But can either scenario, let's say, you know, one of them doesn't get through on Thursday night and one of them does, can that have a bearing going into the game on Sunday if you're going in a wee bit of a low?
Oh, massively, of course it could. If you go and lose the game on Thursday and you're out of Europe, whole place is on a downer, that. Then you've got an Old Firm game to pick yourself up for. There's nothing tougher than that. I think both of them will go through. I do. I hope we do, because I think it'll be a great game on Sunday if we do. I think it'll a lot depend on who comes in for them as well before the game. I think Rangers are going to sign the boy that played against them, aren't they? The guy,
Bolisic,
was it was Barisic, that team, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think Celtic will bring in 2 or 3 as well, so that could change the whole outlook at it as well. But I just think for the first time in years, this game, the Old Firm games, are going to decide what happens in the outcome of the league, which is brilliant. I'm hoping it goes back to the old days where it's a proper battle. I feel like we've not had that for years, eh?
I agree with you, and I hope that's the case. But has that not been a bit disrespectful to Aberdeen and Hearts and Hibs and Kilmarnock? Because as we've seen in the away games already this season, Rangers at Pittodrie, didn't win. Rangers at Motherwell, didn't win. Celtic at Tynecastle, didn't win. So has that not been disrespectful?
To be fair, I think these results early on are not really to indicate it, because they've got Europe in mind and they're playing so many games and they're changing the squads all the time.
So there you go then. So if they both get through between now and December, they're going to face at least 6 Thursday, Sundays. You look at Burnley down the road, have they won a game because they're involved in the Europa League?
I suppose you're right.
Well, think about it, Simon. Think about it.
I've just said any old guff.
Do you think it does have a bearing?
100%, definitely. You know, you're in. There's no days off, is there?
No.
Because you're in training, recover, play, recover, vice versa. It's just constant. Yeah, so mentally, yep. But I think if for me, for the weekend, if Celtic don't go through, the first 10 minutes will be important, fans wise, at Parkhead. Mm-hmm. I think if Celtic start poorly, mm-hmm. the fans will be on their back with 10 minutes from getting out on the Thursday.
So Celtic should beat that team on Thursday. I watched the Avelay, I mean, they're not great.
I agree with you, Simon. I fancy both teams to go through. I think actually both games will be tight. Uh-huh. I think they'll both nick it and go through, which would be great. And for Rangers as well, the first time in 6-7 years, European football, around about £8 million get into the coffers, which will be welcome as well, won't it?
Definitely. Yep.
What a game it'll make for if they both go through.
Brilliant. Oh, right, brilliant. So predictions. Also, we don't know what's going to happen Thursday. We don't know what's going to happen Friday with the window. But give us your predictions while you're here. Pizzo.
2-1 Rangers.
2-1 Rangers.
Anyway, I'll go. I think it'll be a high scorer. I think it'll be 3-2 Celtic.
3-2 Celtic, yeah. Right. Great predictions. Get to William Hill and follow the lads and put those bets on. Okay, next up, we are going to look at the English Premier League. Look at the Mourinho meltdown. How the league is shaping up down there, the EPL. I'm Mark Guidi in the company of Peter McDonald and Simon Ferry. We'll just go straight to Mourinho. Man United 0, Spurs 3. Mourinho meltdown, but a bit of propaganda after the game. He's trying to talk up the performance and the reaction of the fans. But if you're Man United, you're looking down the cold light of day 24 hours later. Peter, that's not acceptable, is it?
It's not. You know, and I think Jose's got to take responsibility. He keeps going on about his two centre-backs. He signed them all. He signed every one of them. Other than Luke Shaw, did he sign Luke Shaw?
No.
I think Van Gaal signed
him. I think David Moyes signed Luke Shaw.
Was it Moyes?
I think so.
So other than him and Valencia, to be fair, who originally was a wide player, covering in at full-back, it's his players he signed, so he's got to take the responsibility for it.
What I can't believe, Simon, you look at that team last night, so Baye's not playing, Lindelof
wasn't he playing?
I know they're England international players, but I've never fancied them. I can't believe that Phil Jones and Chris Smalling still get games for Man United.
No, they should be part-time with me, shouldn't they? They should be two nights a week. Even Jones for the goal. Harry Kane's the best header on the ball in the Spurs team, mm-hmm. and he's 2 or 3 yards off him. Mm-hmm. Basics, man.
Yeah. Some header, wasn't it? It was a great striker, header, Pizzo, you must have loved that.
Typical centre midfielder, deep centre midfielder. You know what I mean? He used to be advanced, but you know he's deep. Legs on the other side.
No,
a centre half about a stick when Kane's put in the stanchion.
I know, but Phil Jones and Mike Smalling. I'm not even giving him his proper name, Chris Smalling. It's Mike Smalling. Mike McGinn.
I was ready to pull you up again.
But I mean, I think Michael O'Neill, remember we spoke about set pieces?
Yeah.
So important. Your centre half to defend like that. And Mourinho prides himself on his organisation at set pieces and his defence, and they're all over the place, eh?
I watched the game last night. Did you watch it?
I watched it.
I remember I turned it off at half times. I thought, and yeah, I heard Gary Neville after it in his analysis with Steven Gerrard on Sky, and he said, you know, United in the first 20-30 minutes, I was enthralled. You know, I'm thinking, wow, it must have been a different game. I just didn't see it. I thought it was sloppy, and I know that Lukaku should have scored on Danny Rose's pass back to make it 1-0, but that apart, I just thought United were really sloppy.
So I had Michael Tidzer up last night in my house. We sat and watched the game, and so sloppy. Man, the amount of times these big players give the ball away is unbelievable, eh? And we were saying, if we'd done that at our level, you'd get slaughtered for it, eh? But everyone makes it, it's the best stand in the world, isn't it? It really isn't it. I mean, Lukaku missing that chance on his right foot.
Yeah.
A guy on, what, £150,000 a week? Mm-hmm. It's not even wide, it's not tight. Yeah. Stick the ball in the net with your right foot.
I know.
And the boy Lindelof playing short back passes, and even like when Dele Alli gets put through on goal, so takes so long to make a decision. And I thought the game was really poor in general. And the set piece changed the game.
Is this the beginning of the end for Mourinho, Pizzo?
Aye, I think so. You know, I think next week will be big for him. If he potentially does he get to next week.
Was it Burnley they've got on Sunday? Burnley away. Tough moor.
They need points.
Who have no picked up yet. And Sean Dyche is, when he needs a victory against the bigger teams, he can pull him out of the bag.
Yeah. I mean, Mourinho, and I know Simon's eyes, you're going to love this. If Mourinho goes, Simon, who would you put in the frame for the job?
Don't know if you know him, Pizzo, but Terry Venables.
Venzo?
Venzo.
We went to school together as well.
Venzo was a Johnny.
He'll be looking at his three piece in Mallorca, won't he? Ready for the interview. So Dan's got to get in. I'd go and get Pochettino as well. I think he's brilliant, Pochettino, isn't he?
Yeah. And there's another rebuild.
That's it. You probably need to get rid of all the players as well. You look at Pogba last night again, hopeless. Yeah. Hopeless, you know. People talk about
does
being
they want
the
to be there?
Nah.
He?
It goes through the motions, doesn't
it? But does they want to be there? Is that not just he actually does they want to play for Mourinho rather than does they want to beat Man United? Is that a fair way to sum that up?
Probably would be the manager. Usually, when you're a player, you've got a problem. It's with the manager, isn't it? It's never really with the club. You don't really deal with the club. It's you and your manager for it. You want to leave the club, innit? As Pizzo would know on numerous occasions.
Never left a club because you're a manager.
Have you not?
Never, no.
Never not got on with one?
No, I never not got on with one, but I've never left because of him. I've seen it out.
Have you ever chucked in? Like, stopped trying there?
Never, ever.
So what do you think of these big players that do it?
I mean, you're on 150 grand a week, you know, compared to us, but we were
you need to graft
in, huh? Even at part-time now, I would never dream of chucking it in.
No.
For peanuts.
And that's what's annoying, hang you watch these guys are on these money and they just go, are you going through the motions last night, eh?
On that Newcastle, we'll switch to a different game. Newcastle, Rafa Benitez, I'm going to say getting slaughtered, but he's not really been because he's Rafa, but 19% possession at home.
Rubbish.
To Chelsea, that's not good enough for Newcastle either, is it?
Remember the Newcastle teams, do you know why not?
Oh, frightening.
Challenging. Football's got so tactical on it. Nobody has a go anymore. You're playing Chelsea. It's not like Man City you're playing. Chelsea
remember
finished what?
Remember that formation, 4-4-2? Remember that?
I know. When you played with two strikers and you put crosses in the box, I know.
You mentioned that 4-4-2, tell us that. How much did you enjoy playing with a striker and how much did it help your game rather than being a lone frontman?
He enjoyed it, but the other striker never.
I was going 20, he's going 30.
No, you think you're a kid growing up at Rangers 20 years ago and I'm off the top of it, if it was McCoist and Hatley and Boyd and Miller or whoever it may be, you know.
Even now, me being a selfie striker, I always like to play with a pair. Uh-huh. You know, and I think over a period of time, you get to know your partner. Mm. You know, you'll be overs and 1-2s and you know where he's going to go. But now, things are so tactical, as I say, it's 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, 3-5-2, but no, really, 3-5-2, you just play off in the striker role. You know, you're like, you know, sometimes 4-4-2 works if you're structured enough. It's Atletico Madrid. Mm-hmm. You know, they 4-4-2 sometimes, majority of times, and they just work.
Yeah.
The striker at position just drops at a position where you can help the midfield.
Two good strikers are going to come in your game, can't they?
Of course.
They can. See, you've got two good
So important. Mm-hmm. A solid two in the middle, your two centre halves. Solid two centre mids, and a right good partnership. I always thought if you've got that. Six, what a chance you've got.
Yeah, look at Man United, dominated English football with two up front, isn't it? York and Cole, Solskjaer, Sheringham. But everyone wants to keep possession now, isn't it? Possession's the big thing now.
Yeah.
People think if you keep possession, you win the game. But for me, I'm the same. Even playing as a midfielder, I like to play two up front. See, when I look up and I want to pass the ball forward, which I don't do a lot.
Different options.
Different. See, if you've got one up front and there's two centre-halves, it's hard to get the ball into them, eh? See, when there's two and they make good movements together, you can play and they can go and play off each other. It's... I always prefer playing two up front as well.
I mean, we look at down south, we see their games every week. Is the standard as good as it made out, or is it just really good marketing and great for Sky and BT, the way they build up the games and stuff like that? Because you look at some of them and you see some of the fixtures, with all respect, you know, and you think, I'm not tuning into that.
I know. To be fair, other than, I'd probably say, top six, I tend not to watch any the other ones. Mm-hmm. You know, and even Man U, I don't even want to watch Man U anymore. Nah. It's been that dire, you know, the way they play. I thought it was bad under Van Gaal, you know, but...
Worse under Mourinho.
Worse under Mourinho, aye.
Did you ever say?
I watched that Huddersfield Cardiff. I watched the highlights on goals on Sunday. Oh my God.
Was it 0-0?
It was like Dog and Duck versus the Red Line, honestly. And everyone says it's the best league in the world. No way, but I think in every league now, you've got the elite, haven't you? The top three or four teams who are great, and then underneath that, it's pretty average. But as I say, I watched the Motherwell Rangers game, and I've not enjoyed the game as much all year. The game is end to end, and that's the good thing about Scottish football. People go for it, because I think everyone thinks they can beat Celtic and Rangers. Well, give them a good game now, especially this year.
Kelly, I enjoyed Rangers Kelly game.
Yeah. Hearts, you know. Celtic, you know, it's always exciting. There's always chances. It's end to end. People are going for it, trying to win the game. And that's what you want to see as a fan. Of course you do. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was at Anfield on Saturday, Liverpool, Brighton. Brighton won up top. Glenn Murray on his own pretty much the whole game. They sat in, could have nicked an equaliser, maybe 10-15 minute spell. But Liverpool, serious title contenders, do you think?
Hard to say, innit? It depends what Man City do. If Man City play at the best, nobody beats them for me. Liverpool would be the nearest challengers. But I like Chelsea as well, by the way. The boy Sarri plays lovely football, I think. And they look great against Newcastle. I know Newcastle camped in, but some of their football was excellent. And wee Hazard looks like he's back to his best. So I fancy Chelsea for a wee go this year.
Yeah?
I do. I think Chelsea will be up there. Definitely.
I think Chelsea's test will be teams who actually think they can beat them.
Uh-huh.
I think it's fair enough. I don't think Newcastle, obviously. Mm-hmm. Newcastle never thought they could beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll just sustain the pressure and try and nick a goal for a set piece or whatever if we could. But Chelsea's problems will be your Spurs and your Arsenals, even at times when they can maybe go and think they can beat them at home.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than your
but last year with Conte, they were ones that would sit in. Remember, they went to Man City as mm-hmm. champions and just sat with 11 men behind it. I don't think they'll do that this year with Sarri. He wants to go and play football and be the team that has the ball all the time and wins. So I think he could give Man City a wee challenge.
And Salah again for Liverpool, terrific goal, winning goal. Important at this stage, keeps the 100% record. Was it four teams? Liverpool, Chelsea, Watford and Spurs. Four teams with
have Watford won every game, haven't they?
Yeah, played them. Yeah, 100%.
Big Troy Deeney's bashing record. People a bit, isn't he?
He's in great shape.
He's brilliant, Big Troy Deeney. I played against him. He was in the jail, wasn't it? Big Troy Deeney, he absolutely bosses people, mate. Big boss man. Right. And who were we talking about? What were we talking about before that? Who were we talking about?
Who were we talking about before that?
Liverpool, Salah and that.
Yeah, we're talking about Liverpool.
How Robertson was good again, eh?
He did, he played well. He worked in a couple of lovely balls. Uh-huh. And set up a great chance as well for Trent Alexander. Arnold just kind of put it past the post. But aye, it was good to see him doing well. And he's fitted into that Liverpool team just seamlessly.
Energy, you just see him and just athleticism. That's what, you know? You look at him in Liverpool. Pace over the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bit like, pace over like the park. Still, but I mean, we'd fit in that Liverpool team, wouldn't
we? Just imagine it.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Jurgen Klopp, imagine you two turning up
at Melwood. Just play to feet.
Stop passing it back.
I like that channel.
Oh, Jurgen. Nah, that's not the way to go about it, Jurgen.
Jurgen, no, Kloppy. Kloppy.
Get those teeth tucked in, son.
Oh, dear. So, this weekend, the games down the road. Entertainment wise, you're not having it out with the top six.
Sometimes they're dire.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're dire. Somebody, you do get a cracker. I like watching Bournemouth, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Bournemouth are good, mate.
Bournemouth are always come and have a go, uh-huh. You know, and they play good football. But other than that, I'm not having many.
Yeah, we'll just flip it this week, Si. We always look, is it Man City, is it Liverpool? You're saying Chelsea this year too. Bottom. Who are you looking at, Pizzo, for bottom three, just to be toiling
Cardiff
all season?
Cardiff will not win a game.
I think Burnley could get dragged into it.
Cardiff will not win a game. I'm telling you, they win it.
What?
I'll put that on here now. Cardiff will not win a game this year.
Yeah, I'll take you up on that.
It's all Bamba's centre half. Big Kevin Kyle drinks him. What chances he got? Did you hear Big Kev say?
No.
I looked at their team sheet. Soul Bamba, I drink Soul Bambas.
Big Kev Wells, by the way.
Cardiff will win a game.
Cardiff, yeah. You think Cardiff will definitely want to go?
Cardiff are definitely going. Newcastle, I think, will be doing there.
Yeah,
that's not a bad shout.
Newcastle again, because Big Mike will no splash the cash.
No.
There's a few could finish third.
You see a Huddersfield, a Palace, a Fulham.
Andy McLaren tipped Watford to go to one every game.
Silly, it.
You back your boots, Andy?
Four games to go.
Huddersfield could be done there.
Huddersfield could get dragged in.
And West Ham, by the way.
Yeah.
West Ham,
bottom of the table.
I think
no points.
That club's in turmoil, aren't it? Fans are totally against the owners. They've spent big money on players that I think didn't know the league, you know, the boy Philip Anderson and stuff like that. I think they've got a lot of big egos at West Ham.
Yeah, and you've got to question some of the buys when you look at them on paper and you think, wait a minute, what is that about?
Even Wilshere, I mean, everyone raves about Wilshere, but he couldn't see it was the end at Bournemouth. He couldn't get a game for Bournemouth, eh? He was on the bench and stuff like that, you know. So I don't know if Pellegrini is the right guy to manage these big egos, you know. I don't know how I thought what his authority is like. You look at him and that's the word, cheers, mate. But I don't know if he's the man to manage the Big Eagles, honestly, I don't know.
Right, we started this section on Man United. We'll finish on Man United, Pizzo. Man United, will they finish top four? I'm not even going to ask if they're going to win the league, so I don't think there's any chance that. Will they even finish top four this season?
No.
No. Si?
No. No, if he stays in charge, no.
Right, there we go. So it's Man United not to finish in the top four, so we'll look forward to some more Mourinho meltdowns before he maybe gets his jotters. Right, final part of the chat this morning on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. We will, of course, touch on our special guest, Peter McDonald's career and his coaching career before we finish off. But just looking at that, you're right, we've set aside 30 seconds. 30 seconds of your best for
my goals. Get an extra half an hour.
Scotland squad, Big Alec McLeish picked his squad yesterday. One thing that's caught the attention is James McArthur, Crystal Palace midfielder, a big part of the Scotland international setup now as well, just asking to be left out for the next 4 or 5 months because he just feels that he's got a back problem and he can't cope with taking on the extra demands of the international games. Is that fair of the player to do that, Si?
Jimmy, try having a back problem with 2 kids, 3 jobs and a wife that I'm going to finish it up, then you'll know what a fucking back problem is. It's a shame, you know, because I think Scotland now need to get a settled 11 that play every week, because when was the last time Scotland had a team that you could pick? You know, when we had Michael O'Neill and I sat and spoke to him, and his team picks itself. He's got the same 11 players every time, same squad of 15 every time, and it just seems to me it's chopping and changing in the Scotland squad all the time. You end up with guys who have got 7 caps here, 4 caps there, instead of trusting somebody to go and play friendlies, games, and they've got 30, 40 caps. I think that's what we need to get. We need to get a settled side that we play every game and we get used to each other. And I think that would help the country massively.
Well, I think that's where I have sympathy for Alec McLeish, Pizzo, and you'll know Alec. You know, because Si's talking there about, you know, players with 30, 40 caps. James McArthur falls into that category because you know what you're getting. You can trust him. He can go and do it for you, but he's not available.
I know. But to be fair to James, I don't think he's going to be one of the players who wants to pull out. End of the day, Palace is bread and butter. They pay his wages. I would love to play with Scotland, I'm sure. But he's using his head to play in a 3 or 4 year at the highest level. You know, he knows his body, the age he's at now. You know, you're nothing worse than a sore back.
No.
Your back goes, you
it's
go.
Your back.
It's your back. Aye, fix it. It's just a private joke between me and Sam.
But Snoddy's pulled it as well, eh?
Yeah. I mean, Snoddy's not really been involved for the best part of a year now. I mean, I think, you know, kind of international retirement's probably been on Snoddy's mind, full stop. But look, it's up to the boys. You've got to respect a decision. And if Peter says, in terms of James McArthur, if you've got to sacrifice, in terms of international football, sacrifice the next 4 months, 4 competitive games, home and away Albania, home and away Israel, to see how it finishes off in the Nations League. But if you get him back for the next qualification campaign, from March onwards next year, then you're hoping that will be a benefit to the national team for the next 2 or 3 campaigns.
Well, you look at it over the next 2 months, it's what happens if his back gets better and you manage yourself a bit better, then
you might be able to go for November.
You know, you never know.
But see, even looking at the squad here, the midfield's quite strong anyway, isn't it? You look at how many boys there are playing the Premiership now, you know.
I have to say, and he played well in the playoff game, but even looking at Fulham, Kearney seems a very confident player, lovely on the ball, always, you know, looking to get on it, doesn't he hide it? He looks as if he could really emerge, Tom Kearney.
I think with Scotland, but do you get a lot of the ball?
I know, it's
a tough one for him to go in there.
But listen, I'm not underestimating Israel or Albania, and that's going to be very dangerous to do so, albeit a lot of the Tartan Army will, just because it's only Israel and it's only Albania, but they're actually good sides if you go and examine them. But surely, particularly at Hampden, you've got to expect to be on the front foot against those guys. You've got to go and take 2 wins to have any chance of topping that group.
Definitely. Like I say again, with the squad, you've got guys like McBurney now who are scoring goals, you know, which is great because it gives Griffiths a wee bit of pressure now. He needs to start producing, you know. You've got Matt Phillips again, scored for West Brom at the weekend. I've seen him the weekend before. Fraser's doing well at Bournemouth. So
John McGinn started well.
McGinn's done well. I mean, even Tony Watt started, you know, he started the season well, so that'll put more pressure on the strikers to score goals. But I just like you say at Hampden, I'd love to see Scotland even go 2 up and just go for it. See, instead of all this sitting behind the ball and hoping to maybe snatch a set piece or a goal on the break. I'd love to see Scotland at Fulhamden go two up and really go for wins.
What do you do, Pizzo? Give us your take on, because you know arguably two of our best players in the squad, Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney, mm-hmm. both are left backs. What do you do? Can you see Alec thinking about a back three with Tierney left of a back three, or I know for example Gordon Strachan and Martin McGee seriously thought about putting Andy Robertson up one ahead of Tierney, then Gordon decided not, he wasn't going to go through with it. What would you do with the two of them?
I think, I know you're looking, I'm looking at it here.
He'd play Lee Wallace.
I'm looking at it. I'm sure Tierney played right back a couple of games.
He did,
and if he was decent enough at right back. It's a big one, big call.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to try and fit the two of them,
I wonder what you do. I mean,
I don't think there is a natural right back there, is there?
Stephen,
I would
Adonald
go three at the back and play a wee Forest right wing back.
So are you looking at? I'm looking at the squad. And if we call out the defenders, Jack Henry, Charlie McGrew, Stephen Adonald, Andy Robertson, Graham Shinney, John Souter, and Kieran Tierney. I'm taking a feeling that squad. Charlie's a gimme.
Uh-huh.
Charlie McGrew,
yeah,
is a gimme. Now I'm just thinking, looking at that, does John Souter and Kieran Tierney go either side of him and go to a three?
But is Callum Patterson in as a midfielder or as a fullback?
I think
he's got that option as well, but you've got Donald there as well, fullback.
Yeah, I think you're now looking at Callum Patterson more as a midfielder. Yep.
I think Jack Henry would go ahead of John Souter.
You think so?
I
yeah.
think he's played with Scotland before and done quite well, didn't he? Him and McKenna done quite well in the
just
last
depends
trip.
What kind of frame of mind he's in.
He's
suppose,
in just now, but you know, I'm looking at that and you think Henry, Mulgrew and Tierney's no bad. Maybe Robertson down the left and Forrest down the right. And then you've got because I think the strongest part of our team is our centre midfielders. If you can get three of them in.
So who do you, that's a good point. Who's your three, if we're thinking, you know, it's a 4-2-3-1 or whatever formation Alex going to play?
4-4-2, no?
4-4-2?
What's
that? What's
like
he
that?
Wants to go back to the four. He's trying to get a game here, isn't he?
who are we looking
at? My midfield three would be Armstrong, Kearney and McGregor.
Right.
I think that's a good three. Mm-hmm. Armstrong, okay. Kearney, sitting McGregor just in front of them.
So no McTominay, no McGinn?
Nah, I don't think McTominay's playing, is he? He's not featured. I know he's a good football player, but for me, you play guys that are playing and playing well. And I think Armstrong playing down in the Premiership, Kearney in the Premiership, and McGregor's probably Celtic's best player for me. So they'd be my three.
That'd be your three, okay.
And I'd go McBurney and Griffiths up front. I think both of them work really hard, be pests for defenders.
So if we go back to that then, if you're looking at, say, he does decide to go back three, that allows two up front, doesn't it, if you want to go 3-5-2?
Yep, definitely. Man, as I say, you play guys that are scoring goals, and McBurney's at a good level. You know, the Champions at a good level.
I saw his header against Leeds United.
Done really well.
It was a great finish.
He was the best player on the pitch against Leeds. I think he's been scoring all year, and obviously Griffiths is a must because he turns up in the big games for Scotland, didn't he?
So Griffiths
and McBurney
3-5-2. Let's see how it goes. Okay, final question.
Give me the job.
On the Scotland team, who's your goalkeeper? Craig Gordon or Alan McGregor?
Greigsy all day. Yeah, it's no question he's one of my best mates, but he started off unbelievable for Rangers this season. So, and forgetting last year, he was played a year at Hull as well.
Yeah, so Alan McGregor. Yep. For Pizzo.
Jordan Archer.
You've been drinking Archers?
Okay, it's a toss of a coin for me.
Yeah. They're both mm-hmm. brilliant goalkeepers, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
They're both brilliant.
I think you know
it's a good, it's a good problem. A good uh-huh. problem for Alec McLeish to have. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one to see who gets the nod as the Scotland number one. And whatever happens, we wish Alec McLeish and the squad well. Belgium, the friendly on Friday night, and then of course, more importantly, against Albania on Monday night at Hampden. Get along and support the national team, and while we're on it, let's wish Celtic and Rangers all the best on Thursday night in the Europa League playoff second leg as well. Right, before we go, we've caught it bang on time. That's 45 minutes we've been going, so I think we're going to allow Pizzo maximum 5 minutes to talk about his career. We've got plenty to get through. But on a serious note, Peter, great to see that you're involved in coaching and you want to put something back in and working with the Rangers under-16s. You must get so much joy out of that job.
I'm loving it, you know, that's what I want to do after I finish playing finally. Basically because I've no standard grades. That's the only reason.
I think they're called Nat 5s now.
So that's what I want to do, and I love it, to be fair. It's a good squad of boys I'm working with at 16s, supporting Brian Gilmore,
So we've got a good squad, potentially a few boys who could to make it highest level. You know, you see it, seen it through the years, and this is probably one of the strongest squads we've had, and there's a few crackers out there.
Tell me, what kind of coach had you? Who's shaped you, who's influenced you in terms of what you do as a coach?
I came through, I sent the sign away walking over here, I came through half old school, half new school. I think that's benefited me, because I didn't like rollicking, but I took it, and it made me the sort of player.
Who was your old school and who was your new school? Give us your half and half, who were they?
Well, my old school was John Brown, John McGregor, Archie Knox, Walter Smith, came through then, and that was... Some kids could take the rollicking, and some kids needed a cuddle. But a lot of times back in the day, it wasn't the cuddles weren't getting it. You know, you just dealt with it. You know, but I could deal with it. But new school came through it, and I left. I went with Starkey. Starkey's no old school, but he's no shouting at you. Starkey sort of he'll speak to you nice and mild mannered. You know, Coyle was good at that. Then
so that was Billy Starkey, Noni Coyle at St Johnson.
Aye, then latterly Dale McInnes coming through when I was 28. Dale became a gaffer, but Dale was this sort of new generation of everything was. That's why he's so
meticulous, details, isn't he?
Meticulous to the fine details of set pieces. And a Thursday we'd come in and watch set pieces for and against, and we'd touch up on it on a Friday. Then we'd definitely work set pieces on the Friday after training. So it was just to be things that could give you the edge. For you, attacking set pieces and defensively, so I would say I've had a good mixture of that, and that's I know when to maybe the kid, which call it my management if you want, who needs a wee blast, but not verbally, as in fucking swearing you, blah blah blah, this and that, but it's a wee cuddle, who would maybe come on, what can you do better?
Well, sometimes and you'll know because you're right involved right at the sharp end at that age at 16. It's such an important year. You're kind of. Hoping to prepare them for you know professional football and go and kick on in a full time career, and some of them that you're maybe at that age, you know you're definitely not going to be good enough for Rangers, but you'll try and help them go and make a living in the game. But stories that you hear now, Peter, and you've just given us a contrast here, is that the modern day youngster, they're too mollycoddled, they're too guarded, you know, they're told what to do, it's robotic, they don't actually go and get a chance to make decisions for themselves, whether that be in life or on the part as football players. Is that a fair assessment?
It's changing with the times, that's it. You know, your modern coach now is more laptop based. You know, to be honest, times, but everything changes, you know, and the kids I've been there. I was 9 year old coming through to when I left Rangers at 20, so I came through the days of training the exact same way they have, going to tournaments and knowing what it is to be a Rangers player. Never made the first team, but I knew the demands of trying to get to the first team, and I can only set the example and tell the kids my mistakes that I made then, and tell them truthfully what I made. Would it be diet, would it be no push myself hard enough, or having too many nights out, which, you know, things like that, which was
the case.
The case.
So you're in a perfect place to counsel them in terms of that, aren't you?
I'm not what I'd be a counsellor, I'm just what I'd be what totally mean, though, honest with them and say this is what happened. And you get Brian Gilmore, who was the same situation me came through, and Gills, who is young at 30, is a great coach, fantastic coach. Who's cut his career short to concentrate his coaching, came through the same way. He was with Bomber McGregor for a period.
Tell me this, I'd love to know, sorry to interrupt. Bomber, McGregor, Archie Knox, who were the ones that were the biggest rollickings?
They were all different. Archie would throw knives and forks at you and coat hangers for having cold toast in his room, you know what I mean? When you opened the door. Where Bomber would go nuts and scream at you for maybe, I wouldn't say for no pushing yourself, but for losing. You know, Rangers players find a way to win, even at the young age level, and I think that was the demands that McGregor and Bomber put on us,
which are great demands, weren't they? Got to have that mentality to go and kick on.
I'm a great believer in winning. I'm a great believer in all aspects of life, as winners and as losers. You know, where it mean you going for a job, you're going to get it, I'm not going to get it, so I'm losing it in a job. Whereas now there's the friendship games, I call them. You know, you finish 16th, 17th in a tournament, I'll be over there and playing the friendship games. You know, that's what it is. You get a trophy for finishing 16th, 17th. I don't know if that's right or wrong, you know, but that's the way it is. Again, we're changing with the times.
On the coaching then, in terms of your own development over the next 4, 5, 6 years, when you do finally hang up the boots, are you looking to stay academy level, is that what you see your long term? Are you hoping to kick on and get into first team football?
I'd like to work at first team level, whether it be first team coach, assistant manager, manager. I got to be taste at Clyde when me and JP took over for the 12 games, and even at part time level, it's a full time job. It's a full time job, and I'd like to sort of get back to that. I'd be taste for it, so I'd like to get back into that. Although I love working with the academy and that, I think I see myself as a first team, working at first team level.
Tell me, that's just all the managers you've had, because you've had a few over your career. Who was your favourite, for whatever reason? Who did you most enjoy playing under and getting to work under every day?
Probably Dale McInnes.
Yeah.
Dale, aye.
Why exactly? Why Derek?
Just professionalism through the roof at St Johnson, you know, but it went for small aspects of lunch, pre-match meals, staying overnight in hotels, club putting you up on a Friday night because I was travelling to Glasgow. Mm-hmm. All that became an option, you know, and whereas beforehand it wasn't. But Dale being and playing the Premiership and at West Brom, you know, that was standard down there, and he brought it in. Better training pitches, things like that, just the way he sees his
things
way.
The
wee small things, as you know yourself, Si. Yeah. Yeah. See, if you're training a shitey Astro week in, week out, you're not getting the best of yourself. No. Whereas Dale got a bit of the grass at McDermott, put all built behind the stadium. Just wee aspects of that, and that took him to another level along with his analysis stuff, where he had the set pieces all sort of sorted up.
I'm sure if you've half as good a career as Dale's had already, and he's probably still got another 10, 15 years left in him, you'll be delighted with that. We wish you all the best for your coaching career, Pezzo. Thanks very much for joining us. It's been a brilliant woof. I can't believe it. We gave Pezzo 8 minutes here in his career side.
Best 8 minutes he's
brilliant,
ever
had. Brilliant. That was a great 8 minutes, and we have given you, 53 minutes. 53 minutes of good stuff on the Open Goal podcast this morning. Keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. The great morning with Simon Ferry and with our special guest, Peter McDonald. I'm glad you stayed right to the end. I know you thought it was worth it, and you'll join us next week. Take care.